You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Psalms 112. Not a very long psalm, 10 verses. I've hit on this and different teachings in the past. You've heard this before, but just stirs me when I think of it. Thank God for the Word. All the way to church this morning, I was just quoting the Word. I was just kind of going through the Psalms and just picking out things I like, Psalms 1, Psalms 2, just going through it. And as I was driving, and I was getting stirred up. You just get stirred. The Word will stir you up. And you have to stir yourself up. In other words, you have to make that choice. You can be as happy as you want to be. Are you out there? The question is really, do you want to be? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, some people like being sick. Some people like being a victim. Some people, really, I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes you feel like you deserve it even. You've worked all year long, and now you're sick. It's awesome. We're going to put the soup on, turn the TV on, lay on the couch, and enjoy this sickness. Hello? I mean, there are some people that way, and some you get down, you get the blues, and you start putting on the blues music. You just pet that devil and just enjoy that thing. You want to enjoy that depression. See, Jesus asked that man to pool best says. Bethesda. Remember that in John 5? He said, do you want to be well? Yeah. Good question. Do you really want to be well? Because if you want to be, you can be. If you want to be happy, you can be. If you want to be blessed, you can be. It's not a sin to be down. It's not a sin to be sick. It's not a sin to be depressed. Not a sin to be poor. It's a sin to want to stay there. Right. It's a sin not to want to come out of that, not to do what you can do to get out of that. And the first thing you need to do is trust God. Hallelujah. You put God first, everything changes. Amen. I mean, that just changes the whole dynamic of everything when you begin to trust God. Now, if you accept what's going on in your life, nothing will change. Nothing will change till you change. That's right. Yeah. Nothing will change till you change your thinking. Nothing will change till you change your believing. Nothing will change till you change your talking. Thank you. But if you'll make a change, if you'll change something, if you'll do something different, then you'll get a different result. Mm-hmm. Psalms 112, 112. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. That's a good start. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Now, how many of you want to be blessed? Amen. Well, number one, fear God. That's not a East Texas scared God of God, but you have an awesome reverence and respect for God, and you wouldn't want to violate his word. You sure don't want to make him mad. You say, can you get mad? Well, yeah, you can grieve the Spirit. You can just do wrong when he says, don't do this, and you do it. You don't want to do that. Are you out there? Yeah. So there's a fear in that sense, not I am afraid fear, but a reverence for God and a respect for God that I wouldn't want to violate his word and do what he said didn't do, to not do. Judgment is just mainly results of our actions. We're not judged by our sins. For our sins, we're judged by our sins. Our sins have judgment built into it. If you're going to hate someone, it's not that God's going to judge you for that hate. Judgment's built into the hate. So you made that choice. As soon as you chose to hate, you pulled that judgment in there with it. It's connected to it, all right? And so whatever you sow, there's something connected to it. Now, we can say God's judging us, but that's not really the case. God told us ahead of time what would happen if we did it. And what he's telling us is that's connected to that action. It's connected to that if you don't forgive, unforgiveness, there's bitterness, there's agony and misery on end connected to unforgiveness. Now, if you want to sow that seed, that's what you're going to reap. Now, we can say all day long God judges, but actually it wasn't. It's not really, abstractly, yes, you could say up in the air there, God judged us, but God told us all that before we ever did it. He told us it was wrapped up in it. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Amen? So don't sow things you don't want to reap. Jesus said, do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's pretty simple. That pretty well covers the whole deal. Why would you hold unforgiveness when you don't want people to hold unforgiveness toward you? Why would you hate people when you don't want people to hate you? See, that's just real simple. So he says, praise the Lord. Love that. I ought to praise God. I ought to worship God. I shouldn't complain, gripe, and moan, and groan. Accuse God of everything bad thing goes on in the earth, which God didn't do those bad things. I shouldn't complain and gripe about the way he's running in the universe. I'm not an armchair quarterback. Are you with me? We like to be that. We like to run our own lives, run our own marriage, run our own church, run our own business. We need to let God do that. We just need to obey God and be stewards of God's gifts on us and whatever he's gifted us with, and let him make the decisions. And, you know, let's just praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God for his goodness. Praise him for his strength. Praise him for his wisdom, his favor. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. I'm blessed when I put God first and fear God. And I delight when I delight greatly, greatly in his commandments. I don't just know the word. I just don't read the word on occasion. I delight in the word. I run to the word when I have a need. I run to the word when I'm down. I run to the word when sickness tries to get on my body, or my mind gets a little confused. Are you with me? Or I get a little tired or whatever. I run to the word. I delight. I know it's better than any pill I could take. It's better than any diagnosis or any medicine or prescription or surgery that the doctor could give me. There's nothing like the word. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Woo! Remember that old Andre Crouch song? I remember seeing him in concert years ago, and he played that piano. And, can't nobody do me like Jesus, do me like the Lord. But can't nobody do me like Jesus, do me like the Lord. Well, there can't nobody do me like Jesus, do me like the Lord. Well, he's my friend. Remember that? And then I hope I don't have that anointing come on me today, all that singing stuff. I do this when I'm tired, but I'm not tired. I'm strong. Okay. Then he'd say, well, he healed my body and he told me to run on. Told me to run on. And then he'd jump off the pan and he'd run off, which I will not do right now. But anyway. But there can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Because he's my friend. Gotta love it, amen. So we delight greatly in his commandments. Why? Because he's so good to us. He always comes through. He never turns me away. He never, you know, tells me I'm no good and I'm not going to make it and you don't count. No, he loves me. He always loves me. He always encourages me. He always gets me back on my feet again. Always encourages me to go another mile. I can do this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Oh, it's a whole lot better than you think it is. Come on, quit talking like that. Get back up on your feet. Trust me, that's what God's telling you, amen. It's going to be all right. I'm going to come through. Have I ever let you down? No, never let me down. God, you never let me down. And he's not going to start now. Aren't you glad he doesn't change? Yeah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I am the Lord God. I change not. You know, I love that because if God were to change his character, his nature, his attribute, his love for you, he's always changing and working with us, but he doesn't change who he is. He will not change his love for us. He won't go from strong to weak. He won't go from love to hate. And the reason being is God's as good as it gets. If you'll just think that thing through. If you're as good as you can be, you cannot get any better, then the only way you could change would be to get worse. Because you couldn't get better. And God can't get better. So he changes not. Because any change on God's part would have to be a digression. It would have to be worse, not better. Because how do you improve on God? Right? So, I am the Lord God. I change not. Amen? How could he? The only way, God can't get better, so he's as good as it gets. He just doesn't change. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Because it doesn't get any better than Jesus. You can't get any better than Jesus. You can't improve on Jesus. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Bless the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants, his children, his family will be mighty on the earth. One translation says they'll be successful in all that they do. You know, this is not just about you. It's about your descendants. It's about your children. It's about your grandchildren. Hallelujah. You need to serve God, and you need the blessing of God on your life, not just for yourself, but for your family, and then for your people that around you, people that you influence, your circle of influence, as it were. Most of my living holy doesn't really have a lot to do with, you know, what I think I ought to do for me. I'm usually thinking about how it's going to affect others. Some things I don't think are really all that bad. I mean, it's no big deal. But I don't do them because I don't want to unduly influence others to do the wrong thing. Are you with me? most of the little decisions we make daily about conscience sins, you know, whether I should or shouldn't, they have nothing to do with salvation. They have nothing to do with me going to heaven. They have to do with me being a witness representing Jesus, and they have to do with me influencing others. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So I'm free. Yeah, I'm free, but I don't use my liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love I serve one another. I think about my kids. I think about, that's why I've stayed with Brenda so long. Because I fear her. And I fear God. In that order. But anyway, I want my children to see how a marriage should work. I want my children to see mom and daddy stay together and they be faithful to each other. I want the church to know that it can be done. And I know many of you have been married longer than we have, but you know, it's not just about me. It's just, it's about others. Are you with me? His descendants shall be mighty and successful on earth. Why? Because he's doing right. In other words, the man or the woman that lives right is going to affect his children. And it's not just you. It always affects more than just you. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Hallelujah. It pays to live holy. It pays to live right. I'll tell you what, your sins will find you out. And your righteous, holy living will find you out too. Amen? It'll always pay off. Amen. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but it's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Harvest is coming. God never forgets a seed. He never forgets a deed. Because every deed is a seed. Amen? He says his descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Now, you can take that up with God if you disagree with that. Don't take it up with me. I didn't write that. That's what God said. I know some people have a problem with that. You know, they'll say, well, you prosperity teachers. Well, you know, I'm not a poverty preacher. I do not preach poverty. I do not. And Jesus didn't either. In fact, he went around helping the poor. He said, give to them. He didn't say to leave them alone. They're in the will of God. He said, there's something wrong with them. You need to help them. Yeah. Amen. And the best thing you can do for the, let me tell you, the best thing you can do for the poor is not be one of them. I know that's sinking in right now. You're thinking about that. The best thing you can do for someone who's depressed is not be depressed. Are you out there? The best thing you can do for people that are down is not be down. Okay? Be up. If you'll be up, you can help someone that's down. If you're prospering, you can help somebody that's poor. If you got the joy of the Lord on you, you can encourage someone that's depressed. But if you're both standing on that bridge thinking about jumping off that bridge, all you're going to do is help each other kill each other. That's all. You're not going to help each other. Are you out there? So that's what he's saying here. Wealth and riches will be in his house. His whole family's going to be blessed because it just his whole circle of influence is being affected by this. And even as a pastor, you know, here's Brian, pastors a great church up in Owosso. You know, you can't get up and be negative with people and expect them to be positive. Because the leadership has to set the tone. The father, the mother has to set the tone. The boss sets the tone. The pastor sets the tone. The minister sets the tone. You know, you've never heard us stand up here begging for money. We don't do that. You never hear us say we're about to go under. If you don't give, we're going to close the doors. You know, when people say that, I think, close the doors. Obviously, you don't believe God. You wouldn't be talking that way. I didn't say you don't believe God. You wouldn't be that way. I said you wouldn't be talking that way because we get sucker punched. I've been down. I picked high cotton, low cotton, and no cotton. You just got to keep picking. Amen? Amen? You just don't quit picking. And you sure don't start talking that negative, that doubt, and that unbelief. You got to talk positive. You got to talk the word. You actually have to act like this new concept. You believe God, that you actually believe what you preach. Amen. Yeah. God forbid I tell you to believe God, then I wouldn't believe God. And then I'd be negative about the church, negative about where we're going, and negative about the finances. No, listen, we didn't give, I don't know how much we've given to missions. How much have we given to missions? Since 1998. Over $2 million to mission since 1998 in a town this size and a church this size. You don't do that by talking negatively. You do that by praising the Lord. Amen. 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 You do that by keeping God in your thinking and in your focus. Hallelujah. And so Keep God in your focus. You're somebody now. You were nobody, but now you're somebody. You were lost, but now you're saved. Amen. You were without hope, but now you got hope. Whatever you were, you're not now. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away and all things become new. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that means something. When I accepted Jesus and he came into my life, that changed me. I'm not the same person I used to be. Hallelujah. I got a future and a hope and a destiny. I tell you, my future's so bright, I got to wear shades. I mean, it's, come on. I've got faith for the future. I got courage for the, I can face the future with courage and with hope, no matter what's going on in the country. No matter what you see on the news, no matter about this election going on, everybody ought to vote. You better get down there and vote. And I can tell you exactly how to vote. Vote for life. Vote for religious freedom. Vote for the Constitution. Vote for security of this nation. Vote for the economy. Vote for America. Are you out there? And if we get the right person in there next year, I can tell you who to vote for. Right now, the Johnson Amendment, I'm not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to name a name. But why would you have to name a name? I'm not voting for anybody. I'm voting for the country. Yep. I'm voting for issues. I'm voting for what is right for this country. I'm voting for against killing all these babies we're killing every year in this country. Are you with me? I'm voting for keeping the laws that we have on our books. I'm voting for the Constitution, this great nation that was founded on law. I believe in this nation. I believe in this country. I believe in religious freedom. I do. I believe that. I believe a child is holy in that womb and out of that womb. Are you with me? I'm voting to protect that. Who's going to speak up for the innocents? Who is going to? And see, you say, well, what can I do? Well, you can get down there and vote is what you can do. You can pray, but you can also vote. So, okay, let me... Righteousness is what we're talking about. Righteousness in a nation. Amen?
Right.
But, having said that, I know where I connected the dots here. No matter what happens, I'll tell you what, Jesus is still Lord.
Amen.
He's still my Lord. Amen? Right. And God still supplies my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Don't let fear creep in. No matter how this election turns out, or any election turns out, or any country you live in, or wherever you are on the whole planet, if you trust God, God will make sure you make it.
Right.
And he'll make sure your kids will make it.
Right.
And you have nothing to fear.
Right.
Don't you let fear creep in. Don't you let anxiety creep in, get stressed out over it. Are you kidding me? Do you think one thing going on in this country has changed God's word one iota? Do you think there's a promise in this Bible that all of a sudden doesn't work anymore? Do you think God all of a sudden has getting weaker by the moment because of what's going on in the news? Do you think that any WikiLeaks could release anything on God that would embarrass him? No.
That's right.
Are you out there? Do you think there's a scandal in the waiting on Jesus? No, there is not. No, no, no. No, no, no. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. You and I are Christians. We are believers. Praise God. We got everything to be excited about. We have every reason to be to have hope, hallelujah. And I got lots of hope.
Amen.
My hope is in God. So, wealth and riches are in his house. The man and the woman that believes God, that trusts God, that praises God, that delights in God's commandments. Man, that's me. I mean, that just got me all over it. My picture ought to be there beside that verse. Well, shouldn't yours?
Yes.
Should be. You ought to see yourself when you're looking at this. He's talking about you. You ever been in a crowd, you know, when you're fixing to get an award, and they start talking about who's going to get the award, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, they're talking about me. Oh, and then they start naming where you're from and your wife's name, and you go, that's me they're talking about. Well, you need to recognize that when you read the Bible. Hello? I mean, it shouldn't take you very long. Praise the Lord. Well, I praise the Lord. Bless the man who fears God. I fear God. Who delights greatly in his commandment. Hey, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. I delight greatly in God's commandments. Whoa. What does it say here? His children will be mighty in the earth. Well, that's me. I can claim that. He's talking about me. The generation of upright will be blessed. Well, I live holy. I mean, I've lived my life according to the word. Wealth and riches. Woo, yeehaw. Or as we say in Texas, yippee-ki-yay-yay. Wow, that's me. Man, what have I been putting up with all this poverty for? Wealth and riches are supposed to be in my house. That's what God says, amen? See, you got to recognize when you're reading the Bible. You got to see yourself in the Word. We're big at seeing Jesus, and that's good. I got it. We're big at seeing God, and we see all these people in the Bible. But do you see yourself in the Word? You should see you should recognize yourself here in the Word. Hallelujah. Excuse me for getting excited. I might start singing again here in a minute. No, I won't. Unto the upright there are all our eyes is light in the darkness. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's finish the third verse. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Man, I like that. You know, the righteousness that you have and I have, especially this new covenant, is going to live and abide forever and ever and ever and ever. We'll look at all this as an hotel one day. All these buildings will pass away. This whole earth will pass away. And you and I, we'll just go on and on and on and on and on. The righteousness that you and I have is the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not even our own righteousness. It's not something I earned and I worked for. It's something Jesus did for me that I accepted. Hallelujah. And because I fear him and I delight greatly in him and have accepted him, my righteousness will take me right on into eternity and I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah, somebody. This is going to be a blip on the chart, this life here, but I'm going to go on and on. I'm going to go past the quasars and the pulsars, past the stars. I mean, this is all going to pass away, but I will go on, and so will you forever and ever and ever and ever. Wow. And unto the upright, fourth verse, there arises light in the darkness. Darkness just can't overwhelm me, can't overwhelm you, can't take you under, can't shake you, can't break you, didn't make you. I'm telling you, if you'll trust God, the light of God will come into your life. It has to do with you speaking the word too, because Psalms 119:130 says, the entrance of thy word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. So if you keep the word going, then light's going to keep coming. Amen. You speak the word, light comes. You speak the promise, light comes. There arises light in the darkness. Are you going through a dark time in your life? Well, I know how you can get light on the scene. It can come out of the inside of you. It'll arise out of you. It'll rise up big in you because the word's in you. Amen. Let it come out. Praise God. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and he's full of compassion and righteous. That's you. That's me. We're compassionate people. We're loving people. Even when I stand up and talk about sin, don't hate anybody. Don't hate anybody. When I say homosexuality is a sin, and I believe it is, and the Bible is very plain, I do not hate homosexuals. In fact, any homosexual that will repent and come to Jesus, the door's open. Come on. Amen. If you committed adultery, adultery is a sin, but if you'll get right with God and come on, we'll take you. We'll take the adulterers. We'll take the homosexuals. Are you out there? We'll take the gossipers. Oh, we got some. Excuse me. Anybody that wants to repent of their sin, come on. We don't hate anybody. Amen. We got no stones to throw because we all got a past, amen? So, you know, we're gracious, we're compassionate. See, the world, I think the problem with the world, and I've said this many times, is the problem with the world is they know what the church is against. They don't know what we're for. You know what I mean? Think about it. I mean, we ought to be loud about what we're for. We're for suffering, sighing, dying humanity. We're for women who have had an abortion. Do you know that? That's a terrible thing to have to go through, and that haunts you. It'll haunt you. But God doesn't hate you, and we don't hate you. In fact, we love you. We want to help you. If you want to come and just repent and go forward, come on, let's go forward. There's nobody in here that hadn't had to repent of something. Everybody in here has sinned. Everybody. Come on. I got a sordid past, you know. Now, I never was a homosexual. I want to make that real plain, okay? But wouldn't matter, but I mean, I wasn't. I just want to make that real, you know, okay. Lest you're confused. I apologize. I had to say that. I just couldn't help it. Okay. Wow, let's move on quickly. Fifth verse. A good man deals graciously and he lends. I like that. We got a little, we have favor. We're gracious when we deal with people. You know, have a sense of decorum is a big word, you know. Oh, come on, man. Have a little respect for people, you know, when you deal with people. And have some love for people. And use a little grace and help people that are in need. We try our best to help people that are in need. That's what our food ministry is all about. That's what this Hallelujah Night's all about that we're doing. You know, it's one thing to complain. Anybody can complain. Anybody can gripe, moan, and groan. It's easy to do that. The hard part is to do something about what's going on. And so, you know, for years, you know, we'd have dress-up night for the kids in Children's Church, Hallelujah Night. We didn't call it that. We just, on Halloween, we'd come in, they'd dress like Bible characters. And then Brenda and Kay, Kay Galloway and Brenda got together and talked about, hey, let's do something maybe for the community, you know. Because this is really when you affect a change. This is what God's called us to do, is to affect a change, to meet a need, okay, to see a need and meet it. Not just talk about it, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that. Okay, well, what are you doing about it? That's the question. Even on a job, you know that's true. If you deal with employees or fellow employees, or if you're a boss or you work for someone, it's one thing to gripe about what's going on. It's another thing to say, okay, what are we going to do to fix this? Because if we just keep griping, it's just going to keep going on. And if we start blaming, well, oh, so-and-so, ah, he didn't, you know, oh, so, why, so, always somebody else. Well, that's still not, we're not fixing it. All we're trying to do is assess the blame, but we're not fixing the problem. God wants us to do something about the problem. He wants us to fix it. That's what we did with the food ministry. Bobby and Debbie came up to us, and at that time, Ted and Cheryl and Dale and Cheryl came. We all talked about, they said they wanted to start a food ministry, you know, and I said, well, great. Well, let's talk about it. So Brenda and I, we all got together, and we went and visited some food ministries. Went to one Oklahoma that was real successful, and went over to Terrell and went over that, and then we contacted East Texas Food Bank, talked to them. And 2009, we started the food bank in October of 2009. We built a couple of rooms for offices. We talked about how we're going to do it. We had lots of meetings where you discussed what we're going to do. And we decided, you know what, we can do this. Let's do something about this. And so there was nothing going on in Wills Point of any magnitude at that time. And so we started the food ministry to meet a need. Hallelujah Night's the same way. We have people that just don't celebrate Halloween. I'm for you. I'm with you. My kids didn't celebrate Halloween. They didn't go trick-or-treating. Some did. Don't hate you. Not against you. Come on, don't get mad at me. You know, if you did and I did and that just. But the idea was, why don't we provide something Christian as an alternative? We did that. And the thing began to explode. See, when you serve God, you look for solutions. You don't just complain. You don't just gripe. You start looking for ways you can do something. You know, you want to have a can-do attitude. You know, we shouldn't be wannabes. We should be can-bes. We can do that. Let's do that. Let's make a difference. So a good man deals graciously and he lends. He helps people and he guides his affairs with discretion. Now see, you can grab onto this. You can say, that's me. That's me. May God help me be that way. Surely he will never be shaken. I like that. He's not shaken. He's not rattled by circumstances. He doesn't go into a panic when things don't go wrong, right. Most of what we get all in a panic about is really not that important, if you don't know the truth. We've made a mountain out of a molehill. What does that saying? Mark Twain said, I've been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. So it says he'll never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. Your name will be good. In other words, they'll talk about you for generations because of the good that you have done. He will not be afraid. Here's a big one. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Bad news doesn't shake us. Bad report doesn't change what I'm believing. Amen? Somebody came, oh, I didn't know about that. Oh, I didn't know about that. But it doesn't matter. I'm believing God, so it doesn't really matter. Amen? Yeah, but did you hear what happened yesterday? Well, you know, really? It doesn't matter. I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. Amen? I mean, it could get worse after I pray. I don't care. It's going to turn around because I believe God. Sometimes you pray and the next day is worse than the day you prayed. It doesn't change the fact you believe God. In fact, really, it's probably an indication the devil's upset. He's trying to get you to stop believing. Amen? So I'll not be afraid of evil times. I'm just not going to be afraid. His heart, why? His heart is established. It's steadfast. It's fixed. Trusting the Lord. Amen. You got one gear. Trust God. Don't have another gear. What's plan B? I don't have plan B. I just have one plan. I'm trusting God. What if? There is no what if. Yeah, but. There's no yeah, but. I've decided to trust God, and I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Amen. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to turn to the left or the right. I'm going to look right on. My heart's fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies or whatever he's praying for. In other words, when do you stop believing? Well, I stop believing when it happens, when it manifests. Then I'll believe for something else. Amen. He is dispersed abroad. He's given to the poor. Boy, that'd be us, wouldn't it? We've given to missionaries. We've given to missions. We've given to the poor in our community. And because of that, our righteousness endures forever. Of course, this is an old covenant. My righteousness comes from God. His horn will be exalted with honor. You know, we've been honored because of the good things we do. You don't have to blow your own horn. Of course, that's not what this horn was talking about. But you don't have to blow your own horn. Your own deeds will speak for you. We're not in competition with other churches. We're just doing what we do, and what we do will speak for itself. Our actions speak louder than our words. That reward we got years ago for Citizen of the Year, we didn't ask for that. We didn't go petition for that. Are you with me? It's just because of what we did that it happened. And the hallelujah, goodness gracious. You know, there's something about the Hallelujah Night. I thought I'd share this. Ryan, of course, does our Facebook page. I got to get that right. Facebook page, website, Facebook page, right? Good. Okay. Ryan does that, and there's a way you can boost the viewing audience. You know, we have everybody, of course, in our church gets, you know, that's on Facebook. If you friended the church, then you get that Facebook post on, you know, Hallelujah Night. But Ryan does this. He does it also for Mindplex with Jonathan's company. But he took this over and he boosted our page, and you can put in specific parameters that it will reach people, say, in a 15-mile radius or 20-mile radius, and it'll actually show up on the Facebook site if anybody lives within that certain parameter. And you can pick the age, certain age group, and just show up on those sites that people have certain age group. So I don't know what the count is today. Have you checked it? Over 5,000 people have viewed our Hallelujah Night page. This week, just this week, it's gone out. So, you know, we're getting it out there. So be ready. We've had people call from newspapers about advertising and say, oh, we don't want to advertise. No. Y'all remember that old commercial, a Yellow Page commercial years ago? They came in this mom and pop shop and says, we want to get you in our Yellow Page. They said, oh, no. We put in Yellow Pages, people start coming in here. Ma can't cook but so many, you know, she can't cook but about 3 or 4 meals, and that's it. People start coming in here, we'll have to hire somebody, we'll have to get more employees. No, we don't want to advertise, you know. And that's kind of the way we were with Hallelujah Night. It started exploding, and we didn't want to advertise. We didn't want anybody else to know about it because it was getting so big. But anyway, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Hallelujah. He's dispersed abroad. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved, and they always are. Don't worry about it. Their haters are always going to hate. Amen. He will gnash with his teeth and melt away. Just let them holler. We've heard the wind blow before. The desire of the wicked shall perish, but not the righteous. Amen. We get what we desire, amen, because we serve God. Now, I just wrote some things down here, what we do, and I'll wrap this up. Where are you going to go? We're going to eat right after this anyway. Cowboys don't play till 7 anyway, so 7:30? Yeah. Is that what it is? We fear the Lord. We live uprightly. We delight greatly in God's word. We lend to those in need. We fix our heart on trusting God. We use discretion in our decisions. That's real important. And that we're givers. That's what we do. What God does, well, he blesses us. He puts wealth and riches in our house. He causes our seed, our children, to be mighty in the earth. He shines light in our darkness. He keeps us from being anxious or upset. These are good promises. He makes our righteousness endure forever. He will not let us be forgotten. He causes our enemies to fail. Wow. He keeps us out of fear, and he exalts us and our descendants.
Amen.
Good stuff. Amen? Amen. I put together a confession here, and it goes like this. I fear the Lord, and I delight greatly in his word. I live upright, and I lend to those in need. I use discretion in my decisions. My heart is fixed. I trust God. I'm a giver. And because I do these things, God blesses me and causes my seed to be mighty on the earth. He puts wealth and riches in my house. He shines light in my darkness. My righteousness endures forever. He keeps me from being anxious and upset. God will cause me to never be forgotten. He will keep me from fear. My enemies will fail, but my descendants and I will be exalted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, take the word personally. That's what I love doing. I love taking the word and making a confession out of it and putting me, I, us in there. And that's just one song. There's 150 of them. Amen? And they're all good. Hallelujah. Hey, stand up with us if you would. Praise God. That help you?